Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to just take a few seconds this morning and think about what you did to prepare for service today. How did you get ready? What sort of things did you have to do last night to ensure that you would be here properly dressed, all those sorts of things to worship? Now, if it's just you and you're of able-bodied age, it was probably not that difficult. Yes, you had to war against that alarm clock that probably annoys you. Yes, you had to get yourself dressed, brush your teeth. Now, if you have children in the home, or if you are aged, these things take a little bit more time. Perhaps the bones creaked, the joints hurt. Perhaps you had to ensure all the children were dressed, that their teeth were brushed, that those were fed, clothed, nourished, and out the door. Now, if you have a good, godly wife, as I do, these things are a little bit easier for you. You mostly care for yourself and assist along the way. But there are things that you have to do to prepare for that. Perhaps showers, baths were last night, clothes were set out, the beautiful dresses laid out, the ties picked the night before, all ready to go in the morning. What else did you do? Did you scroll social media? Did you immediately go to your phone and look at whatever was on the news cycle? Did you go to bed early enough to have to wake up and find that the Brewers beat the Cubs last night? But what did you do to prepare? If it's scrolling through social media, I'm not sure that's the best use of the time. Now, if you're a farmer, if you have to care for animals, you also had to wake up early, because those animals need you in order to survive. So you have to give special care to them, as many as you have. Did you pray this morning? Did you think about what God would do in the service today? Did you think about seeing your friends, your relatives, and rejoice that God is with them as He's with you? This is the best way to prepare, to meditate on God's Word, to spend time during the week looking and reading the scripture lessons that are printed in your bulletin of what we'll be talking about the next Sunday. To dig into your hymnal and see the hymns, preparing yourself for these things, trying to understand why these hymns were picked, looking at the words and seeing the beauty therein. Did you get into a social media argument this morning? Or are you saving that for later? Realistically speaking, social media is a time suck. It can be used as a useful tool. This morning, I did go on Facebook to share the daily Bible passage that I share. So I read my verse, I made it into an image, I shared it, and I logged off. But too often, we can be sucked into whatever drama is going on, especially if you're an elected official and there are people always trying to stir up drama. And we are to remind ourselves of the words from Proverbs. God has given us these words. Rather than trying to spear other people, rather than always mouthing off, either publicly or privately or on social media, we should instead think of these words. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like an earring of gold and an enormous ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain. How do we use our tongues? How do we use our fingers on the keyboard, thumbs on our screens? Do we use these words to point out sin when it's necessary, but always pointing people that we know and don't know that well to the cross of Jesus Christ? Do we take the time to talk to people about these things? Because we should. Because they need it. And the more time we spend in God's Word for ourselves, for our marriages, for our children, for our families extended, and for our neighbors, the better life gets. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have trials. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be diagnosed with cancer. But what it does mean is that you can navigate all these things trusting that God is bigger than it all. Trusting that God has not just left us in this life, but that He is actively with us. And that He would have us focus on the life that is to come. Are we quick to enter into lawsuits with our neighbor rather than trying to work them out face to face, especially if they are a fellow Christian? Do we seek to tear down or do we seek to build up? But building up on the right foundations. What made Western civilization so great in the first place is Jesus. Being founded on the truth that Jesus Christ is the God who took flesh, the God who perfectly fulfilled the law, as opposed to a God that met woman after woman, siring children with anyone that he found, that would throw lightning bolts when he was angry. Who is your God? Jesus Christ, the God who took on flesh, the eternal Son. Christianity taught that every person you came in contact with is a person with imago Dei, that is, made in the image of God, that they are worth speaking to. You may disagree with them on all sorts of things, but they are a person that God loves. They are a person that Jesus Christ believed worthy enough to die for. That's what made the West so great. And as the West has carved out that Christian foundation, she is standing on sinking ground, ground ready to crumble. Be a good human. What does that even mean? If not knowing what good is, that it comes from God, that He is the one that decides and proclaims what is morally good and what is immoral. Do you choose your words before you spout them off? Do you think about them? Or do you turn in anger and yell? Think about how this impacts another human being. Yes, you will get angry as a Christian. Yes, you will see the injustices and cry out to God that He would be merciful and just, but also in action. Your words, the words that God uses in you, proclaim Jesus Christ. Your actions do the same. People should know that you are a Christian. They should know where you go to church. They should know because you have invited them to go with you. They should know because they see how impactful it is in your daily life. How every Sunday, hearing God's word, every Sunday, receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Every Sunday, being reminded that while I am a sinner, Jesus died for me and He died for that person too. Recognizing that I can't make it through this life on my own. Every day is a day that brings us closer to the resurrection that awaits us. Every day brings us closer to the day of judgment when Christ will return. Do you act like it? They see you. They hear you. Are your words and actions going to proclaim Jesus Christ? Because if they're not, repent. Ask for God's forgiveness. You have come to the foretaste of the feast. This is a feast. God is the one who provides. God is the one who sets the table. God is the one who gives of Himself with his own body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. It is important that you pray. It is important that you confess your sins. It is important that you recognize that you need Jesus. Perhaps the most important thing you considered was, is somebody going to be in my pew today? And if that was the case, recognize with joy that somebody came to church. Offer to sit with them. Offer to spend time together. Introduce yourself, but not during the prelude, because that is supposed to be a time of reflective prayer. Take time after service today. Get to know somebody that you've never talked to. Get to know somebody that you've seen for years coming to this church and you don't even know their name. Take the opportunity. Christ is the host. Christ is the feast. Christ is the forgiveness of sins. And so when Jesus sees a man in need, even on the Sabbath, he heals. This, our Christian Sabbath, as the church gathers on Sunday mornings because Christ rose on Sunday morning, defeating death for us, as we gather, he heals us too. Because even if we put on a good face, a strong face, there is a brokenness inside of us. Every single person has this God-shaped hole in us. And we try to fill it with all sorts of things. Drugs, alcohol, lust, whatever it might be. We fill it with idols, and yet we still feel hollow. We need Jesus. We need him to fill all the voids in our life. We need to turn to him. We need to repent. We need to believe, trusting that he gives us that forgiveness. He heals you on this, the Sabbath day, on the day of his resurrection. What a beautiful and wonderful thing that is. When you are spending time with others, make sure that you do not present yourself as above everyone else, but make sure that you are counted with them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Recognizing that there are still God-given roles in your life. If you are the father and the mother of small children, you are not their friend. You are their father and their mother. They must respect you because God is the one that has given you that vocation. There is a day when that relationship will change, when your children become adults and you have that relationship of friendship, but also honor being given. If you are the person in authority, if you are the police chief, if you are the fire chief, if you are a superintendent, if you are the president, all these positions are positions given by God. Chairman. And yet we recognize that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Take the office that God has given you and fulfill it beautifully, splendidly, failing at times because you are a person. But a person made in the image of God that Jesus died for. Jesus gives the supper. He has called you here this very day with these beautiful people. Thanks be to God for that. We are one people, the one holy Catholic Christian Apostolic Church, the universal church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Yes, we are somewhat divided here on earth. There are things that we do not agree with fully, but we look forward to the day when all those disagreements end, when all of us are in full fellowship with one another. Around the throne of the Lamb. The church sings, my heart's delight, my crown most bright, O Christ, my joy forever. Not wealth nor pride, nor fortune's tide, our bonds of love shall sever. You are my Lord, your precious word shall guide my way and help me stay forever in your presence. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.